Welcome to HN Pod, your daily deep dive into the top stories, trends, and discussions from the front page of Hacker News. I am Sarah.
And I am Mike. Today is Sunday, July 19th, 2026, and this is episode 461. We are covering the biggest stories that hit the front page yesterday, July 18th. We have a really fascinating mix today. We are talking about hardware spying on you, some incredibly clever image hacking, AI actually solving decades-old math problems, the hilarious reason why all AI company logos look exactly the same, and the final staggering data on what AI has done to Stack Overflow.
Let us kick things off with a story that absolutely blew up yesterday, pulling in over 1,000 points. The headline is, LG monitors silently install software through Windows Update without user consent. This one really got the community fired up.
Yeah, this is one of those stories that just validates every paranoid thought you have ever had about plugging a new piece of hardware into your computer. The folks over at Gamers Nexus did an investigation after getting reports from users. Basically, you plug in your new LG monitor, and without any prompt, without asking for permission, Windows Update pulls down an LG extension and software component. A minute later, an LG monitor app installer is on your machine.
And it gets worse. Gamers Nexus tested this across 32 system boots. On 31 of those boots, the software popped up an ad for a McAfee subscription. It is just straight up adware being injected into your operating system through the metadata of a computer monitor.
The Hacker News comments were a mix of outrage and resignation. A lot of people pointed out that this is not just an LG problem. Dell does the exact same thing with their Alienware monitors, pushing the Alienware command center through Windows Update.
Exactly. Microsoft actually lists access to the internet and all system resources as capabilities for these apps. The only way to stop it is to dive into the Windows Group Policy Editor and explicitly enable a setting that prevents automatic downloads of applications associated with device metadata. But of course, the average consumer has no idea how to do that, or that they even need to.
It is a massive breach of trust. You buy a piece of hardware, a monitor, which should just be a dumb display taking in a video signal, and suddenly it is a Trojan horse for antivirus trial pop-ups. It really highlights how broken the hardware ecosystem has become when companies view the hardware sale as just the first step in a software monetization funnel.
Totally agree. Moving on to something much more fun and purely technical, our next story is called Regressive JPEGs. This is a blog post by a developer named Maurici, and it got nearly 700 points.
I loved this one. It is such a classic Hacker News project. So we all know about progressive JPEGs, right? Back in the dial-up days, an image would load as a blocky, low-resolution preview, and then slowly get sharper as more data downloaded. This works because the JPEG format allows you to save the low-frequency components first in different scans.
Right. And Maurici looked at this and thought, what if we reverse the concept? What if future scans in the file overwrite the already rendered image data? He figured out that because each scan explicitly sets its spectral range, you can essentially pack multiple different images into a single JPEG file.
The way he did it is so clever. He realized that if you just concatenate multiple images, most browser decoders will give up after about 9 scans to prevent zip bomb style attacks. So to get around that, he created baseline JPEGs that only have a single DC-only scan. Because of how the math works, these images are 1/16th of the original resolution, but the browser will keep reading them. He got Chrome to render around 90 frames before giving up.
And the result is that he managed to pack an entire short video into a single .jpg file. He even embedded the classic bad apple animation. There is absolutely no practical application for this. You cannot add timing information, so the playback speed depends entirely on your network delay. But as an exercise in understanding the guts of a file format and bending it to your will, it is just brilliant.
It really is. It is a great reminder of how much hidden complexity exists in the file formats we use every single day. Speaking of complexity, our next story takes us into the bleeding edge of artificial intelligence. The title is GPT 5.6 used a prompt to close a 30-year gap in convex optimization.
This is a big deal. We talk a lot about AI writing code or generating text, but this is an example of an AI model making a genuine contribution to higher mathematics. The context here is convex optimization, specifically finding out how long it takes to solve an optimization problem over convex Lipschitz functions.
A user on Hacker News named Alternator left a fantastic comment breaking this down for those of us who do not have PhDs in math. They explained that showing upper bounds on time complexity is relatively easy because it is just the runtime of your algorithm. But showing lower bounds is incredibly difficult because you have to mathematically constrain all possible algorithms.
Yes, and what GPT 5.6 was able to prove is that the lower bound time complexity is exactly equal to the time complexity of an existing 30-year-old algorithm. It proved that you need omega d squared function evaluations to solve this. Another commenter pointed out that this basically means you cannot do better than approximating a gradient, which takes d evaluations.
What is fascinating is that optimization of a convex bounded Lipschitz function is the foundational math behind most modern statistical learning and AI models. So we have an AI using its reasoning capabilities to mathematically prove the absolute limits of the very optimization techniques that helped create it.
It is very meta. And it shows that prompt engineering is evolving from just asking for a Python script into guiding a model through complex multi-step mathematical proofs. The AI did not just spit out the answer. A human researcher worked with it, prompting it to explore specific avenues until it closed this 30-year-old gap. It is a perfect example of human-AI collaboration.
All right, from high-level math, we are pivoting to something completely different. Story number 4 is an article from Velvet Shark titled, "Why Do AI Company Logos Look Like Buttholes?"
I was laughing so hard reading this. It got over 400 points and the comments were pure gold. The author points out a very undeniable trend in AI branding. OpenAI, Anthropic, Meta AI, Gemini, they all use circular shapes, usually with a gradient, a central opening, and soft radiating curves.
The author calls it the circular sphincter aesthetic, and when you look at the logos lined up side by side, you really cannot unsee it. OpenAI has this flowery corporate explanation about the fluidity and warmth of human-centered thinking intersecting with technology. But as the author translates it, they just made a circular shape with some angles and wrote corporate speak to justify it.
The absolute best part of the article is the smoking gun regarding Anthropic. Their AI is named Claude. If you go to the Claude website and actually click on their logo, it animates. It literally clenches and relaxes.
It is hilarious. But the Hacker News discussion actually dug into why this happens. It is not that designers are secretly trying to sneak anatomy into corporate branding. It is the result of design by committee and extreme risk aversion.
Exactly. A commenter named Adenovan pointed out that this trend of circular, abstract logos is older than AI. It happens whenever an industry becomes heavily financialized and detached from concrete tasks. You want a logo that looks futuristic, advanced, but approachable and non-threatening. By the time 10 different executives give their feedback, all the sharp edges are sanded off, and you are left with a soft, glowing circle.
And once OpenAI did it and became the market leader, everyone else copied them to look legitimate. It is the copycat effect. If your AI logo does not look like a glowing portal, investors might think you are not a serious AI company. But as one commenter noted, it has resulted in an industry where standing out means looking exactly like everyone else's anatomy. It is peak corporate safe design, resulting in something totally absurd.
It really is. Okay, our final story today is a sobering look at the changing landscape of developer tools. It is a Stack Exchange data query titled, "What AI Did to Stack Overflow in a Graph."
This graph is just brutal to look at. It tracks the activity on Stack Overflow over time, and the drop-off is basically a cliff. We are looking at a peak of around 207,000 interactions down to just a few hundred in recent data points. It is a 99% drop in activity.
The immediate assumption is that ChatGPT and GitHub Copilot simply ate their lunch, and that is definitely a huge part of it. Why wait 20 minutes for a human to maybe answer your question when an AI can give you a tailored code snippet in 2 seconds? But the Hacker News comments really focused on the fact that Stack Overflow was killing itself long before AI came along.
Yeah, a user named Lynn.py wrote a really insightful comment about the inclusion-exclusion curve. Stack Overflow built ridiculously high barriers to participation. It was great for the long-time power users, but it became incredibly hostile to newcomers. If you asked a question, you had to brace yourself for power-tripping moderators closing it as a duplicate of a completely unrelated thread, or nitpicking your formatting.
Another user, Drew A. Design, shared a story about pouring hours into writing authoritative, friendly answers, only to have a moderator with less experience ruthlessly edit and nitpick every word, just to assert dominance. There was even a famous story brought up in the thread about Mike Paul, the creator of LuaJIT, having his definitive answer about his own programming language edited into being factually incorrect by a moderator who felt Mike was not using the site correctly.
That is the ultimate encapsulation of the problem. The gamification and reputation system created these iron-fisted fiefdoms. It protected the egos of the moderators rather than protecting the utility of the knowledge base. So when AI came along and offered a completely frictionless, judgment-free way to ask programming questions, developers abandoned Stack Overflow overnight.
It is a classic cautionary tale about community management. They optimized for a very specific type of rigid quality control, and in the process, destroyed the welcoming community aspect. AI was just the final nail in the coffin for a platform that had already alienated its next generation of users.
It really is the end of an era. We all built our careers copying and pasting from Stack Overflow. But the internet moves on.
That is so true. And that wraps up our coverage for today. Five incredibly different stories that really capture the spectrum of what makes Hacker News so great. From hardware hacks and deep math, to logo critiques and the evolution of developer culture.
Thanks for hanging out with us today. Make sure you are subscribed so you do not miss tomorrow's episode. We will be back to break down the next batch of top stories. Have a great day, everyone.